WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, when you look at this defense here, great performance by the Eagles, right? 3 sacks, 5 tackles for a loss, 7 QB hits, which is really high, so fantastic job. Of course, D'Amico Ryan's defense did great too, 7 tackles for a loss, 1 sack, 2 QB hits. Both of these teams were really good coming into this game, and it kind of felt like either one of these teams could advance and maybe even win the Super Bowl. I don't really know if Brock Purdy had been healthy, how things would have shaken out. He didn't look fantastic to begin with pre-injury. It kind of looked like maybe he was finally getting caught up with, you know, the rookie shakes and things like that. But Philadelphia Eagles walking away with the victory here, 31-7. They have won their last 2 games. Their only 2 playoff games that they had to play as the number one seed, obviously getting the first round bye. They've won them in dominant fashion. So I really like the Eagles moving forward into the Super Bowl. I think their offensive line is fantastic. Now, it does appear like their right tackle, Lane Johnson, re-tore his groin muscle in the Giants game and has been playing on a torn groin muscle, and I'm sure he'll continue to do the same in the Super Bowl. So we'll see how he fares in the Super Bowl. But this is a fantastic offensive line with 3 really solid running backs, like you mentioned, a quarterback who's incredibly mobile, who can run the ball himself, who's developed greatly as a passer. They have really good weapons on the outside. Devontae Smith, obviously Heisman Trophy winning receiver, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, their tight end, had a really good game. Guys like Quez Watkins, who's really fast. This is a great Eagles team. From top to bottom, there's really not a spot where you look at and say, eh, I don't love what they have there. Maybe inside linebacker is a place that you look at and say there's room for a superstar inside linebacker, but the guys they have are doing a plenty good enough job. So, really good job by the Philadelphia Eagles and that coaching staff doing fantastic work with these young players. And when you can kind of look at this, they have a lot of younger guys on this team, right? Dallas Goedert's not that old. Jalen Hurts is on his rookie contract. Devontae Smith is on his rookie contract. Landon Dickerson's a younger guy. They drafted a center who will, I'm sure, soon replace Jason Kelsey at the center position, maybe even as early as next season. So this Philadelphia Eagles team, they're going to be good for a while. And in terms of San Francisco, I mean, they've made it to the NFC Championship game 3 of the past 4 years under Kyle Shanahan. They'll be fine. Shanahan is a genius when it comes to offense, and they have one of the most talented and deep defensive rosters in the NFL. So, if you are a fan of either one of these teams, you must feel good about your franchise moving forward. Hopping over to the other conference later this evening, the AFC Championship game, it was a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. The Bengals traveled to Arrowhead Stadium to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs hit a last-second field goal to take the victory 23-20. I gotta say, this game ended weird, right? The Joseph Osai gets penalized on a late hit on Patrick Mahomes that moved the ball 15 yards forward, and it set up a 45-yard game-winning field goal by Butker, their kicker. The Chiefs looked pretty good in this game. I wouldn't say fantastic, right? Obviously, a myriad of injuries. Patrick Mahomes not playing very well. Well, not playing very healthy. Almost every receiver they had on their roster got hurt, right? Kadarius Toney got hurt. Travis Kelce had been hurt. Cole Hardman got hurt. Juju Smith-Schuster was hurt. A lot of injuries at the receiver position for the Kansas City Chiefs, but they come back and take their team to the Super Bowl anyways, and it's kind of Patrick Mahomes' fault, right? That run on a high ankle sprain, pickups picks up the first down and an additional 15 yards off of that penalty. And the Chiefs are headed back to the Super Bowl. So, way to go, Chiefs. This will be an interesting matchup. I want to get your opinion here. How do you think the Chiefs played in this game? Especially on defense. Talk about their defense a little bit, because I personally was impressed by their defense. So tell me what you saw from the Chiefs, especially on defense, Nick.
I mean, what really was the big... I mean, they lost one of their best corners in Legarius Sneed. I mean, they had to step up. I mean, how many rookies was on that? I mean, there were a lot of rookies were playing in the Chiefs, and that just shows the development that that front office continues to have with the good drafting and development with the coaching staff. I just think what they were able to do, I mean, Chris Jones recorded his first playoff sack, had two of those, and that's what was big right there. They were able to get pressure, especially on that injury-ridden O-line that Cincinnati had. They were able to get pressure, speed up Joe Burrow, and he was able to throw two interceptions. So they were able to force mistakes that Joe Burrow has not usually made all season. And they were just able to make plays when it mattered, especially I bet Kansas City fans were really getting nervous once Joe Burrow had the ball with under 2 minutes, especially NFL fans around the world knew that Joe Burrow was going to go down the field and kick a game-winning field goal. But that did not happen. They made the plays. They took Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins out the game late. Especially that the injury to Tyler Boyd was big because they didn't really have another a third option really to look to. So that made it a little easier on the Chiefs' defense. But I just thought they made the stops when it mattered the most.
Yeah, I think this is where you talk about the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs and some of these other teams. The Bills haven't been able to make it to the Super Bowl here in a while. And when they played the Bengals, this is the same O-line, right? The Bills were not able to get any kind of pressure on Joe Burrow, right? He was able to stand in the pocket relatively comfortably and throw the ball around. Well, the Chiefs, they sacked him 5 times in this game. They had 12 QB hits, right? 6 tackles for a loss. So the Chiefs' defensive line, they were in the backfield a lot in this game. Really impressive, especially from Chris Jones, who is a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. This is going to be quite the matchup. The Eagles' offensive line, who I think might be the best in the NFL, and you look at this Chiefs defensive line, who might be playing up to the best in the NFL. I don't know, it kind of, maybe them and San Francisco sort of teeter-totter back and forth between those two, but this is going to be a great matchup. I'm really interested to see what Jalen Hurts can do when he's faced with this kind of pressure. These are really good teams, and quite the storyline, you know? Andy Reid,
yep,
head coach for the Eagles for the longest time, was never able to get into the promised land, was never able to bring them home a Lombardi. He leaves, goes to Kansas City, wins a Super Bowl, right? Doug Peterson takes over, wins a Super Bowl for the Eagles, who was a former disciple of Andy Reid's, right? And now Andy Reid is going to face off against the team he used to be the head coach of, in the Super Bowl again. So I'm sure Philadelphia Eagles fans would love to beat their former head coach.
Then you, you also have Kelce brothers going in against each other. I'm sure it was the first time as a mom to have two sons going against each other. So that's
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, that's
awesome for that family.
That's crazy, right? I mean, Jason Kelce, the center for the Philadelphia Eagles, and Travis Kelce, tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. Two elite players, you might argue,
future Hall of Famers,
best at their positions respectively, right? That's going to be fantastic. Now, unfortunately, they're not on the field at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be really cool to watch a Cowboys-Bills game, because,
yeah,
you know,
Trayvon Diggs
would be lined up against Stephon Diggs, but I think this is going to be a really cool matchup anyways. I'm sure their parents are going to cut and Eagles and Chiefs shirts in half and stitch them together, and they're going to be cheering every time the Eagles score a touchdown and cheering every time the Chiefs score a touchdown. So this will be really cool. I root for Jason Kelce. Well, I guess he does have a Super Bowl ring, doesn't he, with that 27. So they both have one. Super Bowl ring.
Battle for who gets two.
Who gets two, right? And I'm going to root for Jason because I think this might be his final year as a center. Honestly, and I'm kind of throwing this out there without a great lead into it, but if the Philadelphia Eagles win the Super Bowl, I would expect Jason Kelce to retire. That's just my inkling. That's my opinion. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting from the whole situation. But keeping things back with the AFC Championship game, the Bengals are going to be here for a long time, right? Especially when they finally get in a healthy offensive line. Their defensive coordinator is really good, Lou Amarillo. And I saw that he was getting an interview to be potentially the head coach of, I believe, the Arizona Cardinals, maybe, or the Colts. I'm not entirely sure which one. But he has done a really good job every time they faced Kansas City of attacking the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And I think most people would agree, Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, they're some of the best offensive minds out there, and this guy has done a fantastic job. I mean, 23 points. That's not a ton in today's modern offenses, especially when you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback.
Especially one of the big plays that really, in my opinion, changed that game was 2 minutes when they went lined up the punt, and the punter punted it straight, no like air time, and like 3.6 seconds in the air, and it went straight to Sky Moore, leaving him with so much space to move. I thought that was probably one of the biggest plays that gets overlooked in the game, because that's a, 15-20 yard return, gets them down to where they only need like 15 yards in field goal range. I mean, that's probably a big play that gets overshadowed that not many people would mention.
Yeah, Sky Moore had a 29-yard punt return here. He had two punt returns with an average of 14.5 yards.
He had some fumble issues during the season. So, I mean, when it comes down to crunch time, big-time players make big-time plays, and that's Andy Reid, another great to trust his players in those situations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he put them back out there, and he was able to make something out of that punt and really help set up the Chiefs with great field position to move forward. I saw Devontae Smith was back to return a punt for the Philadelphia Eagles, which I thought was interesting, right? He did that a little bit for Alabama once Jalen Waddle was hurt in their final season here in that undefeated national championship year with Mac Jones and Najee Harris and all those other great players. So that was kind of cool to see. Great games. These were fantastic games. And now you look towards the Super Bowl. Two fantastic teams. Great rosters.
Yep.
Really cool storylines.
Two of the best teams. I mean, it's not often... You'd think it's very often that you get two number one seeds, but it hasn't happened since... I believe it was since the Eagles last played in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. So it's the last time that two number one seeds were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's crazy to have two best teams that everybody... Mm-hmm. And they've each handled their own business. I mean, Philadelphia dominated, Kansas City played very good. And it's going to be interesting to see who wins. I mean, I think it's going to be a high scoring game, though. A lot of offense.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're about to get to our Super Bowl predictions, so stick around for the student section.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, welcome back to the student section. I'm Aiden McGuirk, joined by Nicholas Elliott. We talked about the AFC and the NFC championship games, right? Eagles taking down the San Francisco 49ers and the Chiefs hitting a last-second field goal to send them to the Super Bowl. So now what we have is the Chiefs versus the Eagles, right? Super Bowl will take place February 12th in Arizona. The Eagles, as of right now, are a 2-point favorite over the Kansas City Chiefs. This is really interesting. And we're going to get into our predictions here and some of these key matchups.
Yeah. interesting enough, it's the first time in 2 years where the home team, the hometown isn't the home team representing it.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, like 2 years ago, Super Bowl was in Tampa, right? Tom Brady was there, and obviously he led the Buccaneers to a Super Bowl victory right there in Tampa. And then the following year, the Rams trade for Matthew Stafford and Von Miller, and they go on a run and win the Super Bowl in SoFi Stadium in L.A.
And this year you got the drafted quarterback. So, I mean, many teams... different ways to win nowadays, especially at a quarterback position. You either draft them or you sign them in free agency.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, the Cardinals won't be representing the NFC in their home stadium in the Super Bowl. I'm sure Arizona fans are really looking forward to that after the way things have happened the past two seasons. I don't know. Where's the Super Bowl next year?
Ooh.
Not entirely sure. We'll look it up. But the Chiefs will take on the Eagles... in
Las Vegas is 2024 Super Bowl location.
Las Vegas. Well, they won't be in the Super Bowl. I'm just gonna go ahead and predict.
Go ahead and put that up.
Gonna go ahead and predict that in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
Got to go through Joe Burrow. You got to go through Josh Allen.
Well, that's the Tom Brady somehow.
I still don't trust it. But hey, maybe Josh McDaniels can come up with something great. He is a fantastic offensive mind. But I don't think Vegas will be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. But in this game here, the Eagles are a 2-point favorite over the Chiefs. They opened, as soon as they opened, there was a pick 'em, right? There was, you know, and I honestly kind of feel that way. Now sitting here trying to make a prediction. You look at the health of the two quarterbacks, right? Jalen Hurts, his throwing arm had been injured. It didn't look quite healthy, and I think he admitted as much before the game. He wasn't 100%. He'll have now an off week to get that shoulder and get that arm back to 100% health. And you look at Patrick Mahomes with a high ankle sprain. He'll have the off week, right? He played in the AFC Championship game and did a pretty decent job. But it was clear he was not 100% either. So I think the question about the quarterback's health is going to be really important for both of these teams. And I think even with the Chiefs, who are they going to have at wide receiver healthy, right? Does Juju come back? Is Kadarius Toney back? Is Mecole Hardman back, right? Marquez Valdez-Scantling had a fantastic game against the Bengals. 6 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown. But with the corners that the Eagles have and Bradberry and Slay, I don't think you can just rely on one guy to be as dominant as Valdez-Scantling was in the AFC Championship game. So let's do this first. Let's talk about matchups. And then at the end, we'll talk about who we think will win and by how much. My matchup that I'm really excited about, that I really am interested to see shake out, is the Kansas City Chiefs defensive line with Chris Jones, with
Frank Clark,
George Karloftis, right, who was a draft pick out of Purdue. I'm really interested to see what they can do against the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line, who has 3 Pro Bowlers on it. Lane Dickerson, Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, right? Fantastic offensive line. That is the that's going to be one of those key matchups, I think. If you see the Chiefs have the kind of success at, you know, dominating the O-line that they did against the Bengals, right? If you see 5 sacks and you see 12 QB hits, I think you might say, all right, the Chiefs are going to win this game, right? Because so much of what the Eagles do is based off of the run, right? And they run up the middle quite a bit, and Jalen Hurts kind of pulls. They do read option run game patterns. And if you have fantastic defensive linemen who can blow up those plays from the inside, like a Chris Jones and a Frank Clark, right, it's really hard to run the ball. I'll be watching for that matchup. So Nick, give me your top matchup here. What's the area that you're really kind of interested to see shake out between these two teams in the Super Bowl on February 12th?
I think it's how the receivers on the Chiefs attack the secondary on the Eagles. I mean, especially the question marks around with Mecole Hardman still facing injuries, Kadarius Toney going down with an ankle injury, which did not look good at all, Juju Smith-Schuster going down with injury. It's going to be big for them. I think Travis Kelce is going to have a big game per usual, as he does, especially with the Eagles linebacking corps. I'd say that's probably the weakest part of their defense by far, in my opinion. I think it's going to be Marquez Valdes-Scantling type of game. I think if he can have another big game like he had, it's going to be huge for the Chiefs moving forward. I think it all just depends on the health of the receivers. It's going to be big going into next week for sure.
Yeah, I mean, great points there. You know, the Chiefs lose so many of their targets. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Travis Kelce wasn't 100% healthy either. So now this off week will give him an opportunity to get healthy. But the good thing is, you never look at the Chiefs and say they don't have plenty of weapons, mm-hmm. right? They have tons of guys who can make things happen in the passing game.
And Andy Reid schemes very well for Andy getting them open.
Exactly.
One of the best in the business.
Yeah, he's a fantastic offensive mind and is really good at scheming his guys open. So there's a lot of great matchups to watch in this game. Now, we haven't talked about, Jalen Hurts. This will be his first Super Bowl ever, right? He's in his third year. But he is no stranger to playing on the biggest stages, right? Obviously, former Alabama quarterback, played in national championship games, SEC championship games. He has plenty of experience playing on the biggest stages and in the biggest championship games in the sport. And outside of Bryce Young, he seems to be the coolest, most level-headed quarterback I think Alabama's had in the Saban era. So I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, how do these rookie corners for the Kansas City Chiefs handle A.J. Brown? How do they handle Devontae Smith? You know, that's going to be another really cool and interesting point to watch, those matchups. Guys like Trent McDuffie, and I believe it's Ward, right? Who is
Charvarius Ward.
Charvarius Ward, who is their other corner for the Chiefs.
Wasn't he on the Niners?
No. There's two guys. Is it Justin Reed? Who is Ward?
Yeah.
Who is? No.
He's a safety player.
Yeah. There's two rookie corners. Jalen Watson. That's who it is. Jalen Watson and Trent McDuffie going up against guys like A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Mm-hmm. That'll be a really interesting matchup to watch as well. If those guys can have success, I think, you know, you might look at this game. But really, you know, it's hard to have a ton of success when you got A.J. Brown on one side and Devontae Smith on the other, and tight ends like Dallas Goedert running up the middle. These are two fantastic teams. Rosters are stacked. And it's going to be a fantastic game. I'm really looking forward to it. Obviously, like we mentioned before the break, Andy Reid, former head coach of the Eagles, was let go. Was never quite able to get them to a Super Bowl, but always had them kind of in contention. Goes to the Chiefs and wins the Super Bowl, right? Doug Peterson, who was a disciple of Andy Reid, a guy who worked under Andy Reid, was hired by the Eagles after Doug Peterson left. Andy Reid left. And Doug Peterson takes them to the Super Bowl. They beat the Patriots with their backup quarterback, Nick Foles, right? The Philly special play. Well, Doug Peterson's out now, and they bring in Nick Foles. not Nick Foles, Nick Sirianni. There's a lot of Nicks going on in Philadelphia. Nick Sirianni, who is a first-time head coach, who had been tutored by Frank Reich. Obviously, Frank Reich worked under Doug Peterson and worked under Andy Reid. So all this stuff kind of trickles back to Andy Reid, right? And they'll face off against each other in the Super Bowl. So we'll see. Does Andy Reid kind of get revenge against the team that let him go? Or does Philadelphia win their second Super Bowl in this century? It'll be really cool to see. I'm excited for it. Lots of great matchups, lots of great players. Two really, really passionate fan bases. Probably it's two of the most passionate fan bases in the sport playing against each other. So I'm sure the Arizona Cardinals Stadium will be packed out to capacity with Eagles.
Won't be easy to scalp the money to purchase a ticket.
Oh, God, no. No, no, no. No. These tickets will be flying. I'm sure they already are.
Last time I checked, it was $5,000 cheapest.
No thanks.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how much my car cost.
It's like a dinner party in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's how much my car cost. I'm not, you know, trading my car in to go watch one game. I'll watch it on TV. I don't think I've told many people this story, but 2 years ago, the Bucks took on the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. We don't have cable TV. We use, like, Hulu Live. But we didn't have it then. So we tried to find a way to watch the Super Bowl, and we found a broadcast on ESPN that we could watch. The only thing was, it was all in Spanish. So my dad and I watched the Spanish broadcast of the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And ever since then, we've made sure that, you know, we pay for the Hulu Live and we can watch the Super Bowl with the regular broadcast. But, yeah, no. I would rather watch the Super Bowl in Spanish and not have any idea what's being said versus paying $5,000 to go watch the game. Yeah. So let's get two predictions here before we cut to break. And, Nick, I'll start with you. Who do you think is going to win and by how much?
Right now, at this very moment, I'm going to have to lean towards the Eagles right now, just with the question marks around the injuries with the Kansas City Chiefs, especially around the receiving core. Maybe by next week, once we know more about the health of Kadarius Toney and Juju Smith-Schuster and the company, I might change. I guess we'll see. I'm going to take the Eagles. I'm going to say 31-24.
All right. I'm going to lean Eagles as well. I don't think it quite gets to 34. Good, though. I am going to take the Eagles to win. And I'm going to take them to win 27-20. Yep, I'm going to take them 27-20. So I'm going to go a touchdown. I think it'll be a touchdown game, actually. I don't think it'll be very high scoring. These defenses are really good. And both quarterbacks are banged up for these teams. So I'll take the Eagles 27-20. It could just as easily be the flip-flop of that. Chiefs win 27-20. Who knows? Right? And of course, one injury, Patrick Mahomes heals up, but then he damages that sprain again in the middle of the game. Or a guy like Travis Kelce gets hurt, you know, the kind of dynamic player, game-changer player that he is. You just never know.
Yeah, I think one big key, especially that I didn't mention before, is going to be, I think Jalen Hurts is going to have to win the game with his arm. Because I feel like the Chiefs are going to force him to not really be able to run it, and they're going to stack the box up to where the running backs, Miles Sanders, Kenneth Gainwell, and Boston Scott are not taking advantage. And
yeah,
just speeding up his clock a little bit, keeping him contained in the pocket is going to be big, especially Chris Jones and Frank Clark can be huge for them. And I think A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith got to prove why they are two of the most elite receivers in the game right now. Especially, I think the big thing is that dynamic relationship that Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith have already had for so long, especially here at Alabama. I mean, their connection has been fantastic this year, especially if, like, Devontae Smith from year one to year two is elevated even more. I mean, he had a good year last year, but this year he's been really, really fantastic for them.
Yeah. Two great receivers there for the Eagles. And I guess if you're Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, who do you trust more, right? Do you trust your defensive line and your linebackers to take care of the run game, and you allow your safeties to assist those rookie corners against Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown? Or do you feel like you kind of need to commit some additional help in the box to stop the run? And then, of course, Jalen Hurts can stand there and pick the defense apart with the receivers and the weapons that they have in the pass game. Do you try and contain the quarterback and just, you know, keep him in the pocket, make Hurts throw the ball, but don't let him run? Or do you pressure Hurts with the chance that maybe he breaks off a really solid run and picks up critical first downs because your guy missed a tackle? I don't know. Great discussions to have. I'm sure Steve Spagnuolo and all the defensive coaches in the Chiefs room, every coach, all the coaches that are coaching in this game are already game planning and have been today, I'm sure, for what they can expect from the other team. But stick around after the break. We're hitting the Pro Bowl, which is coming up this Sunday. It's going to be really exciting. So, kind of give you what we're looking to see of this revamped Pro Bowl format when we come back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, welcome back to the student section. And we're joined by Nicholas Elliott. Just broke down our predictions, are probably way too early predictions for the Super Bowl. Have no idea who's going to be healthy. Have no idea who's going to be ready to play. But as it stands right now, I've got the Eagles winning 27-20. And Nick has got the Eagles winning
31-24.
So, could all change the next couple weeks. You know, obviously have to make sure that we keep up with the health of Patrick Mahomes, the health of Jalen Hurts, probably the two most important players in this game. But it's going to be a great game regardless. Now, do not worry. There is still plenty of great football action happening this week in the meantime for us waiting to watch the Super Bowl. The Pro Bowl is kicking off this week, right? So skills tournaments will start sometime this week. I believe it's Thursday. Thursday will kick off the skills tournaments. And this upcoming Sunday will be a flag football game. And this is really exciting, right? Obviously, they changed the format. It used to be just a regular football game. But, you know, there was this understanding of, hey, the players aren't really going to tackle each other. The players aren't really going to hit each other. And the games were just kind of hard to watch, right? Because they weren't running at full speed. Nobody wanted to get hurt in the game. I think the NFL did a fantastic job switching to this flag football format. I think it's going to be really fun. The Manning brothers, the two head coaches. So I would assume Eli Manning will coach the NFC, being the Giants quarterback, two-time Super Bowl champ. And Peyton Manning, having played for the Colts and the Broncos, two AFC teams, will be the AFC head coach, also a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. So have both of the Manning brothers will be the head coaches for either team, which I think is going to be fantastic. I hope that they are mic'd up, because that would be fantastic to hear those guys yelling at their players in this flag football game. There's plenty of representation for the Crimson Tide, right? 10 players, 10 former Alabama players have been selected to participate in the Pro Bowl. Now, obviously, Jalen Hurts and Landon Dickerson are on the Eagles, and they have been selected to a Pro Bowl. I doubt either of them will play. But the rest of the Alabama guys probably should, right? You got people like Trayvon Diggs, Patrick Sertan, Mika Fitzpatrick, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, and several others. C.J. Mosley, Quinnen Williams, Jonathan Allen. Who am I missing? Marlon Humphrey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the amount of elite defensive backs that Nick Saban has put into the NFL over the years is just astonishing. So that's really exciting, right? I always love to watch the skills tournaments. Those are my favorite, especially the quarterback skills tournaments. Those are really cool to watch. So we'll see those in action. And the flag football game, I'm sure it's going to be really, really fun. So can't wait for the Pro Bowl to kick off this week. And that'll be happening. The Pro Bowl game, the flag football game, will be happening Sunday. So be sure to tune in. I think it's on ESPN.
Yep.
Where you can find that flag football Pro Bowl game. All right. Alabama football fans finally have heard something about our coordinator search. It was reported today that Nick Saban has been in contact with the Washington Huskies offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb to potentially come to Alabama. Now, we don't know if this is an official job interview or if this is just an information gathering type visit where Saban will go and meet with Grubb and kind of talk with him and maybe get a better idea of who he is as a coach. And then he may decide from there, yeah, we should probably interview this guy, or no, maybe not. But Ryan Grubb, offensive coordinator for the Washington Huskies, you know, what was your reaction, Nick? Because before I read all these stats, I just kind of want to get your reaction. When you heard the news, hey, we may be looking at the offensive coordinator for the Washington Huskies, what were your thoughts?
Opening thoughts on what I saw. I had to go in the digging, didn't recognize the name at first, but when after I saw he did, was offensive coordinator at Washington, I thought that was huge. I mean, statistically top five offense this year. I mean, Michael Penix Jr., he did not look good last year at Indiana, but this year he put up insane numbers. Had one of his, probably better than in the 2020 season, in my opinion. And he made him look like an elite quarterback. So and then they were putting up 40 points a game. I mean, that's not really like a Washington-style team. Usually that's a frisky 20 points. They like to win in the trenches, but 40 points a game, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, that's a surprise. I wasn't expecting that, but if we can hire him, that'd be huge for the program.
Yeah, so this was definitely kind of out of left field, right? Obviously, you hear the names, the most common guys like, hey, Jeff Lebby may be on the table for Alabama, right? Maybe some of these NFL guys that have been let go might also be on the table. I think Nathaniel Hackett's name was thrown around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Adam Gase.
Adam Gase had kind of been mentioned by some.
Greg Roman.
Basically
a lot of past NFL offensive.
Yeah, a lot of these guys who have been in the NFL, right? Greg Roman is still on the table. Adam Gase, I would not like to come to Alabama. Nathaniel Hackett has found a new home. And we'll break down all of the sort of staff changes that have happened across the NFL next week. So be sure to tune in next week, because we're going to give you a full rundown of every general manager change that's happened, every offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator change that's happened. Head coaching changes are happening almost, you know, it seems like every hour you might get a new update about who might be in the lead for which head coaching position. So we'll break all of that down next week when Nathaniel Hackett has found a new home as an offensive coordinator in the NFL. But, you know, I didn't really know Ryan Grubb. I did know the Washington offense, though. I knew Washington had a really good offense under head coach Kalen DeBoer this season, right? Michael Penix Jr. transferred from Indiana to Washington to reunite with Kalen DeBoer, who was the offensive coordinator at Indiana while Michael Penix was there. So I knew that Washington had a good offense, but when you break down the stats, it's actually really impressive. So this season, Ryan Grubb has helped, you know, really fully revamp the Husky offense, right? They are first in passing yards in the country. They are first in first downs in the country. They're first in third down conversions in the country. First in completions of 10 plus yards. First in tackles for a loss allowed, which is a good stat, right? So if you're first in tackles for a loss allowed, that doesn't mean that you allow the most tackles for a loss. That means you allowed the least. They're second in total offense in the country, right behind Tennessee. So if you type in Google, who's the best college offense in the country in 2022, number one was Tennessee. We all got to see that firsthand as Alabama fans, unfortunately. And number two is Washington, right? So they were second in the country in total offense. They were second in the country in sacks allowed, which again is just like third down conversions, or excuse me, tackles for a loss. If you're first, you know, the higher up in terms of sacks allowed, the better. So they only allowed 7 sacks this entire offseason, or excuse me, season. 7th in the country in scoring, and 10th in the country in yards per play, right? So, you know, Ryan Grubb used to coach offensive line. So when you talk about you're only allowed 7 sacks this offseason, right? And they played like Dan Lanning's Oregon, who's a really good defensive mind, good defensive players, right? They were first in terms of tackles for a loss allowed. Ryan Grubb's experience coaching offensive line, I think, has really helped him protect the quarterback and make sure that all of his offensive plays go for positive yards, not negative yards. It's, you know, Michael Penix Jr., who was their quarterback, set a school record and led the nation in passing yards. He had 4,641 passing yards with 35 total touchdowns to only 8 interceptions. You know, this is really an interesting sort of development here that we'll be keeping track of. Grubb is one of the highest paid coordinators in college football, right? Behind Todd Monken, who's the offensive coordinator at Georgia, because he got a little bit of interest from Texas A&M when Jimbo fired their offensive coordinator. And it looks like they're going to pay Grubb $2 million to stay in Washington. So, obviously, head coach Kellen DeBoer really values Ryan Grubb and thinks Ryan Grubb is worth being one of the highest paid coordinators in the college football. So, I don't know. I think I'm with you, Nick, and I'll get your final thoughts on this, but this might be a pretty good move for Nick Saban.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to back up the Brinks truck for sure to get that done. I agree with what you're saying. I think that'd be a really good move coming out of left field that not many people expected. People probably expected either in-house with Joe Cox or definitely thought we're going to go the NFL route again, which has still worked. But I guess we'll see in the coming days or weeks, however long it will take before Alabama fills its 2 coaching positions.
Yeah, it's been a long process. It's been drug out. Saban's certainly taking his time with this search and the defensive coordinator search. Obviously, both positions still open, as well as safety coach position open. But, you know, I think Alabama would probably pay him similar to what Washington pays him. The question for Ryan Grubb is, where is he going to develop professionally more? Right? Would it be better for his career to stay at Washington, or would it be better for his career to come and learn under Nick Saban? And I think everybody knows the answer to that question, which is to make the trip down to Tuscaloosa and be tutored by the greatest head coach in all of college football history. That's going to do it for us tonight. Again, be sure to tune in next week. We're going to break down all of the excitement from the Pro Bowl, kind of give you an overview of what happened, give our reaction to this brand new layout that the NFL is implementing this year. Should they stick with it? What changes might they make to make it even better? And of course, we'll keep you updated on everything that we hear in terms of the Alabama coaching. But next week, we'll give you a full breakdown of all of the moves that have happened across the NFL, from general manager changes, to coordinator changes and head coaching rumors as well. So with that being said, I've been Aiden McQuirk, joined by Nick Elliott, and this has been the Student Section.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.